What's good, y'all? For first-time listeners, welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock. And for those who've tuned in before, welcome back. On today's episode, we have Quaz DeGraff. Quaz DeGraff is an actor, director, writer, and entrepreneur from Yonkers and West Havistraw, New York. DeGraff explained how his career started by tagging along with his girlfriend at the time, who joined an acting workshop, then going on to studying at various acting schools in New York after growing a love for the art form, all while working as an accountant at Ernst & Young. We later spoke about the steps it takes to become an actor, the difference between independent productions and bigger studios, his TV debut as Freddie on Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, his newest endeavor pursuing a master's in fine arts in acting at the University of Southern California, and much more. I had a blast doing this interview with Quaz. It's always good reaching back to people from home who are doing great things, but it's even better when I can do it in person, in the same city, 3,000 miles away. I didn't expect this at all, but it was a pleasant surprise nonetheless. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Words matter. Welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock, a podcast dedicated to storytellers. I'm here in Los Angeles, California. Yes, new location. I moved here, and my guest also moved here recently as well. Actor Quaz DeGraff.
Thank you, man. This is an honor, brother.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing pretty good. Just in school. I moved out here to get my MFA in acting at USC. So, just doing that LA thing, chasing the dream.
Yeah.
So pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So many people out here, the city's built on the film industry. So, it's not unfamiliar for someone to move out here to pursue an acting career. So how do locals respond to, anytime you ever run into a local and you tell them that you're here to act, do they look at you like, oh God, another one?
Honestly, that hasn't really happened, but I think they probably think that in their head. But
yeah.
They're mostly kind of like, oh, that's dope. But they haven't really been anything like negative. Honestly, I think everyone in LA has been real, real nice, like striking conversations, especially when you try to get into Ubers, when you just want to like just put on your music. A lot of them want to like have conversations with you, which is kind of annoying sometimes, but I get it.
Annoying a lot of the times.
Yeah.
who are you?
So, I'm Quaz DeGraff. I'm an actor. I'm going to say writer, director, and, overall entrepreneur. I think I also, invest in real estate. So I'm trying to do just as much as I can, to not only chase my dreams creatively, but also business-wise, financially as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, we're both from Rockland County,
yes, sir.
New York. I'm from Spring Valley. And Quaz, you went to North Rockland High School.
Yes, sir. Best high school in Rockland County, for sure.
Biggest high school for sure. It's like a college. We're both from Rockland County, New York, right outside of New York City. And it's crazy. And we have a mutual friend who put this together, Sheldon. But that's, it's kind of wild that we both here across the country.
Yeah, shout out to
Sheldon. Same city. Yeah. So there aren't too many notable actors from our area, especially ones that look like us. Mm. So who or what directly inspired you to become an actor?
Yeah, man, I think in the growing up, I feel like, I think I've always been inspired, creatively just by different mediums. I think the first thing was I used to be a drawer, and I think it was the easiest thing just picking up a pen and pencil, pencil and paper and just draw. And as I got older, I started exploring painting in high school. I actually was born in Yonkers. And
okay.
I moved to Rockland when I was, seventh grade, I think, around seventh grade. And when I moved, I moved to Samson. I don't know if you're familiar, but like everyone, that's kind of where I started playing basketball and really got heavily involved in sports. So I kind of left the creative stuff to the side.
Yeah.
Then I ended up going to Albany, walking on the football team, transferring to Pace to play football. And it wasn't really until after I graduated from Pace, I started working as an accountant at Ernst & Young. And my girlfriend at the time, she wanted to do this kind of acting program, and she didn't want to do it by herself. So I was like, I'll do it with her just to support. And, I started, we did the whole program, and basically at the end, it was kind of like a showcase with like agents and managers. And at the end of it, they actually had a callback and they wanted to speak to me to talk about freelancing and working with me. And I kind of been on the journey ever since. And the first time I ever really felt like this was like for me was I took a couple of classes at HP Studios, and there was just a moment where I took a class with David the Blinger. He was he's like a well-known actor and teacher at the studio. And I remember getting on this, getting in front of my classmates and doing this monologue, and it was like transformative.
Yeah,
I think I couldn't even really explain to you. It was like an out-of-body experience, and I knew right then like this is something I want to do for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. What's HB Studios?
Yeah, it's a studio in downtown New York. And it's like, you know, they advertise like De Niro and them went there, but I know sometimes, you know, a lot of people put on their websites like, oh, you know, Pacino trained here, but I don't know sometimes. I don't know if it's all true, but yeah, it's a well-known acting studio in downtown New York. And, you know, I bounced around. Like, I went to T. Schreiber Studios. I studied a little bit at the Bauer Group. And I think that's about it. I kind of was just bouncing between those three studios and just taking acting classes here and there while just, you know, auditioning for short films and anything I could get my hands on, you know. And this is while doing a full-time job, which was very difficult because nobody knew what I was doing, like, you know, basically I was, you know, off of work. So it was just kind of like living a double life, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a creative life, right? And then you were an accountant. So it's like the opposite of creative.
Yeah.
So it's like two different worlds. You kind of got to be a completely different person, you know, very structured and, you know, just
yeah
and then as a actor it's more free.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
and to be honest, like I would say that especially coming from my family's from Ghana, Africa, and I know a lot of you know, first generation I guess, what do you call it? Immigrants that's here in America. I think their parents usually kind of, they will more so guide you into like the more structured career paths, like a doctor, lawyer, accountant. And, you know, to be fair, it's because it provides job security. And, you know, they want their kids to, you know, not struggle here because, you know, they want better for them. But so it was a bit, when I told them I wanted to do the acting thing, you know, they were a bit hesitant. Like, is that really like a job thing? Honestly, to this day, even my mom's like, oh, that's great. You're on TV, but you should still, you know, keep your accounting job. Okay, thanks, Mom. But yeah. It wasn't like something that was like really kind of like encouraged in our community sometimes. So that's why. But I think as I've getting more involved in the industry, I've seen a lot more people, especially from Ghana, that's really pursuing the arts. So I'm really happy to see us out there killing it.
Yeah. So of course you don't come from a family of entertainers, then. If you
absolutely know, yeah. Not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's been great so far. I think now they're definitely tapped in and tuning in and really encouraging me. So that's always great.
Mm-hmm. I know everyone's path has and will be different, but what are the general steps that it takes to become an actor? If you can kind of just summarize it in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a couple of people have been asking me that, you know, and I think the first thing you want to do is take some acting classes. Because, you know, a lot of people think you just kind of just go on set, you're just saying lines, but there's just so much more to this than just, you know, hopping on set and just saying lines. Just like, because I can say, like, you know, I like that hat so many different ways, because there's always subtext. And not to get too technical with all this stuff, but like, I think the first step would be to take classes and kind of see, hey, is this for you? Because honestly, as you know, in this, especially in the creative industry, you're gonna get a lot more no's than you are gonna get yes. And you gotta be able to kind of grind through that. And it's gonna be your love and passion for this that's gonna kind of get you through the other side.
Yeah.
So I would say take some classes and then, you know, maybe try to be extras on some sets and see like what the other actors are doing that's like in the game. Like if you have an opportunity to get some like SAG film or SAG TV shows and really just kind of see like, you know, kind of see, oh, that's what he's doing. Like, do you like that? I just seen an interview with Michael J. Ferguson, who was 2-bit on Power.
Yeah.
And he actually was doing the same thing. He was an extra on Power. And then he kind of saw how like, what's Ghost's real name? Forgot his real name. Omari.
Oh yeah.
Omari Hardwick. He's kind of seen, he saw like how he was, doing his thing, really studying his movies. And he was like, this is what he want to do. And they actually asked him to come on to be a series regular. So that was pretty cool. So I would say take classes and try to get on set as much as possible through independent films, student films, and yeah, just always train. And then if you love it, just keep going. But it's definitely not going to be easy.
Yeah.
If it's just something that you're just trying to be, just get lit, I think there's a lot easier ways to get popping and get lit than acting, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like your path so far mirrors the paths of others?
I don't know. Maybe. I think, I don't know too many people that went from accounting. Actually, there is that, the dude that was on Shang-Chi at the that Marvel film, Shang-Chi, he actually worked at Deloitte, which is one of the other. So there's big four accounting firms. There's EY, Deloitte, PwC, KPMG. He came out of Deloitte, and I remember he tweeted how much he hated it. But you know, his parents were the ones that was like, you know, this is what you need to do. And I resonated with that because from day one working at EY out of school, man, I was miserable. It was really soul sucking job. But it paid the bills. And, you know, at the time, it was just funny because everyone around me, especially my family members and people that I grew up with, they were like, man, you got a job at Ernst & Young. You must be so successful. Mm. Like, you're doing it right. But inside, I was just like, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
And I remember it was the first time I actually started making money. And I remember I was able to afford trips to like Barbados and Bermuda. And that looked cool and that looked lit and everything. And that's when I actually hopped on Instagram and started showing that, man, Quaz must be killing it. But it's like, I remember on the flights back to New York.
I'm like, damn, I gotta go back to this place. Bruh,
it was the worst feeling. Like flying back into JFK and you're just like, fuck. I can't believe I'm about to go back to this, sitting at that desk. And I knew I had to just start doing things. Like, you really, really kind of changed. Cause you know, we got one shot at this thing, man, at life. And I wanna make sure that I'm kind of living in my truth, or living the life that I want to do as best as possible. So that's really started how to get rich. Google, I read everything. I read from like stock trading to this and that, landed on real estate. But that's like a whole other thing. But as far as like creatively, what makes me feel alive, like, it was definitely the acting.
Yeah.
You know, music as well, but you know, I think acting was the one that really lights a fire under me.
But you know, before your girlfriend did that, I guess it was an acting like workshop.
Yeah.
Before she did that, did you even have an affinity for films before that? Like, were you a big, like, very, you know, just like nerdy cinephile or into TV shows?
Like, nah. So I wasn't a cinephile at all, and I didn't really go to the movie theaters that much because, I mean, my parents weren't really giving me money to go to the theaters at all. So
yeah.
We had the little films that we did. There was a lot more African movies than anything like Hollywood stuff. But I mean, I was always creative. Like, you know, I have a big family, so we would always do little act, you know, I guess mini theater stuff. You know, looking back, that's what it was. And I would say I would love playing different characters and just in everyday life. So I feel like it was always there, but it was just something that I didn't really like tap into. Just realize, like, this is actually what I've been doing for a long time, just, you know, creating characters, especially in my head. Like, I love writing and creating stories and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, everything just started clicking later on. But I remember we did do one production of a show called A Streetcar Named Desire, and I was playing Stanley Kowalski. I think his last name's Kowalski. And that was like my first time acting, and it did feel very natural, actually. It felt very natural, but I just kind of like disregarded, like, this is just a school thing. We just go on and, you know, go to practice in the evening, I mean, afternoon. But I had a little taste of it, so now I'm glad I'm actually really living in it.
That was in high school?
Yeah, this was high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did another student film in college, but just because my buddy, he was part of the Pace's University's theater program. He just like, yo, I need you for this role. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And again, it was something that I really enjoyed doing it, but it's like, that was cool, but, you know, I was playing football at the time, so I didn't really pay too much to it until like after I got out of school.
Yeah. So you just mentioned SAG. SAG is the trade union. It's a trade union.
Yeah.
For actors. Can you kind of explain the purpose of a trade union? Because there's unions in every industry, even in sports. So, but I think it's kind of unclear maybe for a lot of people. So what exactly does SAG and trade unions do for actors?
Yes, I mean, SAG is basically there to like protect the actors. sometimes I don't really know the full history, but essentially they just want to make sure the actors are getting paid, make sure the actors are protected as far as, you know, their rights and not getting jerked over. And also they provide, after a certain point, I believe they provide some sort of health insurance. But you know, like any union, you have to go in and you pay your dues. But also, basically SAG, I'm trying to really explain, because I'm like freshly into SAG, so I don't really know like all the history behind it. But what I do know is that, you know, you just report to them and then you report if anything goes wrong, you can go to SAG to kind of like, you know, protect the actors. So that's kind of like what it's there for.
Mm-hmm. And you said you did student films and you did different short films, mm-hmm. trying to just get your foot in the door any way possible.
Absolutely.
What's the process of landing your first gig?
Yeah, so I think for me, there were two websites that I was using. One was Backstage and the other one was Actors Access. And basically, you get a profile on Actors Access, for example. You get a headshot. So I guess that's one of the steps. You get a headshot. And then since you don't really have much material, you just kind of have to audition for anything that fits your profile. Sometimes they're looking for black male between the ages of 18 to, I don't know, 25. And then you submit yourself and see if you get it. And then, they'll ask you to submit. Before, you actually had to go in for audition, but these days you're kind of sending a self-tape. But once you do that, then you just kind of audition. They'll send you sides, and then you just kind of, you send your audition. And then if they like you enough, they'll, you know, bring you for callbacks. And then not all projects do chemistry reads, but I know one I just did, they asked for a chemistry read. You just kind of keep auditioning, and if the casting director or the director likes what you did, then you join aboard the team.
Mm-hmm. And then when you get your lines, they can like you, right? Say the producer likes you. Mm-hmm. How do you go from that point to landing a specific role? Like, how do they choose, what do you have to do?
As far as landing a role, after the audition process?
Yeah.
To be honest, all that stuff is just, after you send in your audition or you do your audition live, you kind of just have to leave it up to them. There's not really much you can do. Granted, sometimes I know there's agents and managers that would kind of like, vouch for you or fight for you, but as far as the actor, I think his best rule of thumb is just do your audition and then forget about it and just do your own thing. Sometimes you won't hear back from them for months, weeks, or you just may never hear back, so you don't want to always just kind of be in your mind, because I know it's a habit. Like when I would audition for stuff, as soon as I would leave the room, I'll just be like, damn, I should have said this line like that. Why I say it like that? Oh man. But that stuff can drive you crazy, so you should just go in there, you put in the work, you study your lines and study the character, build the backstory, and just do as much homework as you can on what the role require. You go in, you present your work, and you kind of just leave it alone. And, sometimes it's really a mystery on how they pick it. Sometimes it's maybe another person looks more like what they're looking for. It could be, maybe you just never know what goes into it. So never take it personal is what I think.
Yeah. And we're here in Los Angeles. How did you end up in LA?
Yeah, so around this time last year, I went to a play in Harlem, and one of my buddies that I got cool with during taking some classes, and he told me, he was like, Quaz, I think you should look into getting a MFA in acting, which is a master's in fine arts in acting. And I didn't even know what that was. And so I looked into it, and I was like, you know what? Because I haven't really had a chance to really study the craft, I thought it would be a good opportunity for really take, concentrate all of my efforts and time to really understand. Cause, I don't want to just, like I said earlier, I don't want to just kind of do a couple episodes here, a couple episodes here. And granted, and I want to be clear, like, you definitely don't need an MFA to be successful in this at all. But I think for me, at this moment, cause it could change next year, so don't hold me to this, but I think for me, it was important for me to really take these next 3 years as an investment to myself and really understand this craft and learn as much as I can, build a network that I can to really, have the longevity and career that I'm looking to have. And so I auditioned for a couple schools and ended up going with USC. So now I'm here in Los Angeles.
And USC is like prestigious as far as school for film. So
absolutely.
You made the right decision. It seems like you made the right decision.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a blast. And I think especially now USC's pushing us, collaborating with the directors and producers on the film school side. Because there's SCA, which is a School of Cinematic Arts, and then there's SDA, which is School of Dramatic Arts, and that's the actors. But now they're doing a lot more collaboration. So I've been, you know, networking with the directors, and we've been working on projects. So it's been great, because you never know, like you get out of school and there's a director that remembered me from school and be like, hey, I think that's actually what happened with Lakeith Stanfield. I think he worked on a project that the director was like, yo, I want you in my feature film, that, because he had shot it. It was originally a short film, from what I remember. But yeah, that's what it's about, just kind of really networking with your peers around you.
Yeah. Are there any similarities in, you know, what are the similarities? What are the similarities and differences you see in this industry between New York and LA?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I wouldn't know too much because right now, similarities between LA and New York and the industry. I wouldn't know if there's any differences so far. But mind you, because right now in LA, I can't really give a good answer on the LA portion, because right now I'm just in school. So I wouldn't say I'm really tapped into the industry side of it too much so far. But and often there can be roles that are maybe shot in New York that even people from LA are auditioning for. So I think it's not really much differences, really.
Yeah. But I would say that, because I guess you don't really see, there are studios in New York, but it's like almost like it's hiding in plain sight, where in LA, like you see, you'd be driving and you see the big studio, Sony, Fox. So
that's true. That's true. There's like for Power, I had no idea like that there was that whole studio in the Bronx. I don't know if you, Leslie, do you know where that location was? Story Ave?
Yeah, Story
Ave. Story Ave.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's like right. I think it was on the east side.
And I know there's one in Queens.
Yep, there's one in Queens as well. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely in the cut somewhere.
Yeah. So, you know, now to go into some of the projects that you've worked on, Amsterdam Avenue, Maya, and Kyron.
Man, love that project.
Yeah, it was pretty compelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, for an independent project, it you definitely spent some money on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as far as just showing the characters, their different lives in Amsterdam and in New York.
Absolutely.
But Maya and Kyron both experienced a lack of support for their careers from their families. And as an actor, you said, you know, coming from a Ghanaian background, I don't know, did your family support what you were doing?
Not even a little bit.
Wow.
But it's all good, though. It's all love. They just want the best for me. I understand. But, you know, let me be clear. My mom and dad, they just didn't really understand it. But as far as like my siblings, oh, they were behind me 100%.
Yeah,
they're definitely rooting for me. I think, they've been very supportive, and friends as well, for sure.
Did they see something in you?
They're actually not surprised at all. They're actually not surprised that I kind of, because they've always saw that. They saw there was something about me that I would be able to kind of follow this path and succeed in it. You know, funny enough, I remember my boss at when I was an accountant, he was actually the CFO, and he would just look at me, he'd be like, Quaz, like, what are you doing here? Like, you don't belong here in this like cubicle. And I always thought it was funny, because in the back of my mind, I used to be like, well, actually, I've been auditioning. I'm trying to get out of here as soon as possible. But it was kind of funny that he would say that, because I was always just very, I have my moments. I think I have my introverted moments, but there's some times where I can kind of really be theatrical
and
stuff like that. But back to the Amsterdam Ave, I just wanted to shout out to Dion and Pooja. I want to thank you guys, because you guys really gave me the start. And even I remember leaving. I went on lunch break at my accounting job to go audition for that project in Midtown. And I told my, it went a little longer than planned. So I remember telling my manager that my brother got locked out and he needs me to go, like, give him the key or something like that. I wasn't really thinking how good the excuse was, but I remember auditioning and they were like, I auditioned for this one role and they were like, can you sing by any chance? And I told them, I mean, I can sing in the shower. I'm like, kind of sound good in the shower to me, but so they asked me to read for another part, which was end up being like one of like romantic leads, Liam, and that role was just incredible for me because it was like you said, it was pretty, it was a decent, it was a really good budget production, yeah. And it was just like and they were just so like supportive. Like I remember first day, I thought, you know, we were shooting episode one because I thought we had shot, we shoot in order. They were like, oh no, we're shooting episode four. So you didn't see the call sheet?
Yeah.
I was like, what's the call sheet? I didn't know. I was so green. Like, I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, they're still my good friends to this day. And, you know, they're grinding it out in New York as well. Dion's DJing as well. And Pooja's actually doing very well on TikTok. She's going viral consistently on TikTok. But that Amsterdam Man project was incredible. Like, that probably is my... Well, let me not rank it. It was definitely one of my top three favorite projects, though.
And you were one of the biggest characters, most important characters on the show, really. You were a part of, like, a major narrative within the story. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was, great experience. And that's where I learned that how late shoots can go. And sometimes you could say, this is the time we're shooting, it could go really over. Time, but the thing was, I didn't even realize sometimes because I'm just really enjoying just being there, like when everyone just, you know, making a project like that is a very collaborative experience and it was just like everyone on set was just cool, from the DP to the crew, just everyone just made it such like a great experience to shoot that project. And you know, they actually tried to get it on Netflix in Amsterdam because like half of it was filmed in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And I forgot what she said, but why it didn't work out. But like, hopefully they keep trying because I would love to shoot a season two.
Yeah.
But yeah, that project was really fun to make. And I'm really blessed for that to be my first project because not all projects you work on is going to be to that caliber, mm-hmm. is what I've grown to learn. But yeah, it was definitely a great experience.
Mm-hmm. What opportunities came from... Amsterdam Avenue?
Well, I think the main was getting an incredible reel from that. And your reel, which is basically clips from the projects you worked on, that's going to be your resume, essentially. And then, so I was able to finally get a reel. So now instead of just my headshot, now I can add some of the work that I've done. And then it helps me to... So now when you're submitting for roles, people can check you out. Like, oh, I've seen that. And, you know, we did that project with Kate Kern too. So I got an opportunity to do a scene with Kate Kern. She was in a bunch of different things like Insecure, Stranger Things. And so it was really fun doing scenes with her. And so now you kind of have like, you know, evidence to say, hey, like this guy knows what he's doing. So mm-hmm. it's like kind of like a snowball effect of people to help you get to the next project. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you always see the trope of the starving artists, you know, starving artists in film and television. And, you know, that kind of goes back to just talking about job security, mm-hmm. your parents might not being as supportive as you want them to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, do prospective actors have to be prepared to experience a season of or seasons of not having money before they make it?
Absolutely. This is one of the toughest jobs to make money in because the investment, the upfront investment, it's like, you know, classes aren't cheap, you know, transportation and, you know, just everything you need to do is just trying to put yourself in places to succeed. And a lot of these films, they're not, you know, independent films, student films, so they're not paying enough to pay your rent, especially if you live in New York or LA. And so, you have to be prepared. You know, unless you get lucky and you just land like a huge role just kind of out the gate, which, you know, happens. But I think for the most part, you're going to have to, you know, get those survival jobs in order to kind of hold you over until you do get that big break.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, how has it been for you? Has it been pretty lucrative for you?
I wouldn't say lucrative. I have, you know, they vary. There have been jobs where I've gotten paid like $125 and that, and there's been jobs where I got paid, you know, a couple of thousand. But for me, because I have been, you know, I've still been working as an accountant, I haven't been looking for acting to really supplement, you know, basically my means of living. So I think that's been a blessing in that regards. But the flip side of that is it's very difficult for you to kind of be open and free to for projects to come that come your way. So that's why you always hear the you know, stereotypical get it like a waiter job, because it's very flexible, but they don't pay as well. And I hate to say, you know, the pandemic was a blessing and a curse, of course, but for me, because during the pandemic, I was actually able to just send a lot of self-tapes instead of having to go to downtown or midtown to audition. And it was just a lot easier for me to send out auditions, and then I could just be like, just tell my boss, like, you know, I'm going to take off for work, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it definitely worked out in that regard. Like, had it been, you know, before 2020, I don't know how it would've, I mean, I would have made it work, but I was even thinking about moving to Atlanta right before the pandemic
hit. Yeah, they shoot a lot of stuff in Atlanta.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy that, like, right before I was about to quit my job, so thank God I didn't quit yet, because that would have been bad. But things ended up working out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you spoke about independent productions and how they may not pay as well as you would like, or, you know, the budgets aren't as big. So what's the difference between working with the independent production and bigger studios?
Yeah, well, bigger studios, they're going to be, those are going to be the SAG production. So there's going to be minimums that an actor must get paid. So that's kind of one of the biggest thing. And so are you saying just as far as pay or just?
Just as far as the experience overall, you know, what do you see? Because you've done Power, Book 3, Raising Kanan, we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is a bigger production company, but you've done a lot of short films and you've done independent shows, web series. Mm-hmm. So just what is the overall differences? What are the overall differences between smaller productions and bigger productions?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind first is really just the size of the crew. I've done, you know, shoots where it's just me, the director, and maybe like one lighting guy, one sound guy. Actually, my own short film was literally just me, the DP, and the actors. And I was, when the other actor was on scene, which was my cousin, shout out to Joe, I would be kind of like holding the light deflectors. It was super, super small, crew. Whereas versus, you know, a bigger production, you have a whole, you know, village of just people looking that has, you know, have their own specific jobs, like wardrobe, lighting, sound, this and that. So I would say the size of production, but as far as the experience, I think the experience of actually doing the work is really the same. As long as you have like the core elements of the camera, your scene partner, none of that other extra stuff matters. But I will say for the bigger productions, the craft, which is the food service, is always dope.
I always hear about that. Craft service is amazing.
For sure.
So I think it's safe to say that Power Book 3, that's your biggest role to date, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So you play a stick-up kid by the name of Freddie.
Yeah, shout out Freddie.
And you know, without spoiling it for anyone, Freddie is an antagonist, to say the least. And what did you have to bring out of yourself to portray that kind of character?
Yeah, so for me, I think
because you haven't really been an antagonist in other roles, yeah.
I haven't, and I think I was actually talking about this with my cohort a couple of days ago. But I think nobody really thinks of themselves as the bad guy. I think every person has their justification for why they do what they do, but they don't. It's not unless like you know, like in real life, people feel like they have their like point of view on things, and this should be the way. But they don't think of the like who's to say like what is a bad guy? Because some people can think Freddie is justified in doing what he's doing.
But so for me, circumstances.
Yeah, because of his circumstances, and that's what kind of helped me. So that was like the backstory I built, because obviously he wasn't like he didn't have like a whole backstory. So I had to kind of build that for myself. Like, what would make Freddie want to, you know, be a stick up kid? What would make Freddie, you know, kind of being where he's at today? And that kind of that's what kind of helped me get into, you know, the skin of Freddie and really try to bring that character to life. So I don't really think of myself like, yeah, I'm gonna come in and just be the bad guy. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was just a matter of, like you said, just what's the given circumstances and, you know, building his backstory, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you build, because we don't really know too much about Freddie's backstory, so you build a backstory in, like, your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so, because it definitely helps make the character more alive.
Yeah.
More alive, I think. And, you know, part of the game, of course, you know, you have the given circumstances of, you know, what the script is saying and what's going on in the story, but also some of the actor's job is also your interpretation as well. So I think another actor would have played Freddie a different way. And you see that with even, like, you know, how all the different Jokers and, like, character people that actors that play the same character, they have their own flavors. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it was definitely, definitely enjoyable playing. That was like my first time playing an antagonist. And I was actually surprised from the reactions I got of people actually really fucking with Freddie. Like,
yeah.
They was actually rooting for, like, they was, I don't want to spoil it, but they was rooting for Freddie. And I thought that was really kind of shocking, because I thought, you know,
But, you know, Kanan and Famous, they're not the most likable characters.
That's so fair, that's fair. So, yeah. No, that's true. But yeah, Freddie, it was definitely a great experience shooting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for real. I mean, so it's like, Freddie, like, what's wrong with Freddie? I mean, he's doing what he got to do. Like, you kind of want somebody to rob them when you watch that show. Do you see yourself in any of your roles?
Do I see myself in any of my roles? I think in a way. I think, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I think, like, everybody, I don't know if it's everybody's everybody or anybody's anybody, but it's like there's a little bit of, when I look at it like a role, like, let's say a Freddie, there's a small part of me that's Freddie, but I could also look at another role, like maybe a Denzel in Training Day. There's a small part of, I think there's a small, in a human, there's a little bit of characteristics that you can relate, kind of be an entry point into that character. So a lot of people can look at a character, there's like, there is no way. Let's look at, maybe using Dahmer as a bad example, but I'm just, but I was going to say, like, for him to, like, kind of look into it, there may be something, like, even though I hadn't watched it yet, but maybe, I don't know, if you look at a really grotesque character like a Jeffrey Dahmer and be like, maybe he has some sort of addiction, and think to yourself, is there something that I have, like, an addiction to, or something like that? Like, what would be something that
make
I
you so obsessed?
Yeah, make me so, exactly, yeah. So obsessed. So there's something that, there's always some through lines that you can use to kind of really get into a character like that. Even though, if you take a step back, there's like, I'm nothing like that character, but there's always just something that, part of us that, you know, you can use to kind of use as an entry point.
Yeah. I always hear the term method acting. What is method acting?
Method acting, in my opinion, I don't really even think that's acting, because it's like you're almost like, essentially, so method acting is like, let's say if I have to, how should I say? Let's say I have to go, I have to play like a garbage man. I say I have to play a garbage man. I would actually get a job as a garbage man and just live as a garbage man for like, for like 4 months until I actually go and shoot as the garbage man, essentially like that. And, you know, some people swear by it, but to me, you know, I was reading a book on Brando. A lot of people think Marlon Brando was like a method actor, and he really hated that stigma, because it's like, essentially, you're not really like acting. You're really just living. I mean, it's tough to explain, but
you're living a character.
You're just living that thing, and you just kind of like, you just show up on set. And to me, from what I heard, I've never actually experienced anybody as a method actor, but from what I heard, it's like, it kind of like gives them a reason to, like, if they're playing like an asshole, or like, it kind of gives them a reason for them to just continue to be an asshole on and off offsets. Like, you don't have to like stay in. For me, it's like after, you know, Director Yale's cut, then you can kind of like, you know, let that go.
Yeah.
And, you know, go. Some people want to take it home with them and just kind of really just become that character. And I mean, you know, to each his own. But
yeah.
I don't think, I prefer to be able to kind of, you know, do my thing, you know, become the character, but then after cut, you know, go home and just leave that there.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think it's even healthy to kind of, I mean, depending on the character, because some roles can really require a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of emotional, I don't know if baggage is the right word, but can really be, you know, weigh a heavy toll on you. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, people say Christian Bale's a method actor, or like people like Heath Ledger really lived in that role as a Joker.
Yeah, definitely heard a story about Heath Ledger. Shout out to Christian Bale, though. That's actually one of my favorite actors, so it's ironic that we're talking about.
That's a goat.
Yeah, I definitely want to check out that Amsterdam film that just came out. But yeah, some people just, you know, if you can handle it, if that's what you want to do, then by all means. But it's not only that one way to really be great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a beautiful thing about this, you know, the art, because there's different ways to kind of do what you need to do. It's not only one path, but yeah, it's definitely not for me.
Yeah. You know, you've been in three short films that I've seen on your IMDb.
Oh, appreciate it.
Recurring roles in various series. Mm-hmm. What would it take? What do you think it would take for you to land a role in a full length feature film?
What would it take? It would have to take a great team to kind of put me in the right place, and not, you know, as far as like getting the audition in my hands, and then me kind of taking it from there and putting out the best that I can at, you know, at the time, and then just see if, you know, the time is right for, you know, if the part is right for me, then it's, you know, it's for me. I think I try not to think so product oriented, like when will it take to get here?
Because
I just kind of, I think if you, you know, keep your head down and just kind of keep doing what you need to do as far as hustling and getting better every day, it's going to come eventually.
Yeah.
Because then I think you're going to lose it. Like I remember, you know, I would think about, you know, these next couple of years of me in school, and there was a part of me that was hesitated at first because of the momentum that I had, and I'm essentially putting like a stop to it. But I think if you're more focused on the process and the craft, then all that stuff will come eventually, right? So, yeah, just kind of getting the right team around you, keep doing the work, and eventually when my time comes to be in, you know, those films, it will come.
Yeah, and that's a healthy mentality to have, because people said, you know, there's nothing wrong with setting expectations for yourself, but you know, sometimes if you look too far ahead, to kind of stress you out if you're not at that point by a certain time, by a certain age, you know, so that definitely leads to people. And I think that's just a mentality that a lot of creative people have, and just people in general that are goal oriented. Like, you want to have everything done by a certain time period, and if you don't, it stresses you out. You feel like you're a failure or something like that. But
yeah,
I think that's a healthy mentality to have.
Yeah, and listen, we all do it, right? Especially, you know, looking at social media, like, you know, you feel like you need to accelerate your success, but you don't know about all the behind the scenes stuff, because, you know, Instagram is basically just, you just show your highlight reel. That's basically what it is. So nobody's really gonna show y'all, I didn't get the role for this. I didn't get the role for this. But they're just gonna show, yo, I got the role. So it's like, yeah, I mean, you gotta take that with a grain of salt and just kind of keep your head down and grind. And like, funny enough, like, I actually auditioned for Power, like, I wanna say like at least four times for different roles. One, I think one was for Raising Kane and one was for Ghost. And so when I finally got that, yes, it was just like incredible, because I think out of all those roles, this is the role that was, you know, for me. Like, this is the role that I really wanted. So, you know, I think I was really looking out, and you know, it was for me. You know,
yeah.
For me, that's why I always say, what's for you is gonna be for you. And I think, you know, it's this crazy thing, because back in 2017, I was working at Ernst & Young, and everybody knows at my firm, everybody knows that 50 Cent is actually one of my favorite, not only artists, but just businessmen, like business minds. And when I'm working, sometimes I like to lock in and just kind of play his music and just, and everybody knows that. So 50 was promoting one of his Effin' Vodka, vodka bottles in Stamford, Connecticut. And so I went there with my brother and we did the whole thing, took the picture with him. And then I posted on IG and I said, me and 50 are in negotiations with my debut on Power. And at this time I had no like intentions of acting, right? So I was just kind of just talking shit. So it was just really crazy. Like 5 years later, I think that's 5 years. That's literally my TV debut. So, like Khaled says, God did. It's really, really manifested that. And I think, just keep having faith.
You can push that mic out.
I'll push it back.
Yeah.
Just keep having faith. Cause you know, there was a lot of no's. And instead of putting my head down, I'm like, all right, next one. Especially if you keep getting your auditions and sometimes you get callbacks, you at least know you're doing something right. Cause you know, that role may not be for you, but for the casting director may seem like he wasn't quite right for this one, but he may be right for the next one. So you kind of, if you put out good work, people are going to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just go back to Power. What was it like on set? Like, did you met 50 on set?
I actually did.
Yeah.
Because, man, should I spoil this? I don't know if it's tough for me to talk about it without spoiling it, but.
What happened in the
Yeah, show? Well, I did meet 50 and we had to do like a, so they had a, basically put me in this like casting because they needed to make like a body double, like a fake body double. And when they had made it, he actually brought it to set and that's when we got an opportunity to, you know, chat a little bit. I didn't bring up that whole story because I felt like I just wanted to stay present like and lock in. I don't know, maybe one day I'll be able to get an opportunity to tell him that. But yeah, he was on set, but I think, I just remember when the car pulled up to set and like we was talking about earlier, like it was crazy how they just transformed the whole block, like from the cars to the street sign. It was literally like walking to a time portal, like back in the 90s or 80s, whatever. I think it was 90s.
Early 90s. Yeah,
early 90s. And so that was just crazy in itself. And I thought I was going to be a lot more nervous than I was, but you know, I really prepared in the days coming. So it was just a matter of like, all right, we here.
Yeah.
And really just have fun. It was honestly, we had a lot of fun that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't like too much pressure because I'm thinking I was going to put so much pressure on myself to do good. And honestly, that's when you start fucking up when you're so much in your head because that's not what it's about. It's really just about, you know, just like kind of, you know, just being the character and just like really enjoying out there. Because this is play, you know, theater, essentially like the origins of this is theater, is play. But yeah, definitely had a blast. And the biggest crew I've ever seen. I haven't seen so many people on set. But again, it was a blast to work with Makai and AJ. That's Kanan and Famous. Really great shooting with them. And yeah, shout out to them. They made the experience even, you know, really good.
Yeah. Speaking about like plays and stuff, have you done theater?
Yeah, so I did like a one play called Kingdom of Kingston. It was a really, I did one show. So it was like I got a taste of theater, but I haven't really done too much. So I think while my time at USC, I'm going to have an opportunity to do a lot of plays in the next couple of years. So that's what I'm really excited for. But I think that's where, you know, a lot of the great actors, you know, they come from theater. I strongly believe that. So, you know, if I want to emulate, you know, the greats, I think it's important to, you know, do theater, at least to me. Again, it's not like mandatory. Of course, there's great actors that haven't done theater. But for me, I think it's important for me to, you know, do as much theater as I can. Because the one show that I did do was, you know, it was actually really fun because you don't get that live reaction like you do like in a TV show.
Yeah.
A TV show, you don't really know what people are experiencing. You're not in everybody's living room.
Mm-hmm.
But like in theater, you're really getting the oohs and the ohs.
Yeah.
Like live, and it's like energizing. It's great. Mm-hmm. So definitely enjoy doing plays for sure.
Yeah. What about, you know, doing theater as a, you know, like, because Patina Miller,
mm-hmm.
who is Kanan's mom, mm-hmm. and Raising Kanan, she comes from theater.
Absolutely, yeah.
So do you want to have a career like that?
Beast.
Were you doing film and TV and doing theater as well?
Yeah, I think that would be the dream, honestly. If I can handle it, you know, time permitting, because I heard that she was, you know, while like film, like she was doing it at the same time. Mm. Now that's intense. Like, but you know, the work shows like she's a pro.
Yeah,
definitely one of my favorite characters on the show. And yeah, I mean that would be a dream to be able to do, you know, theater, TV, and film all at once. And yeah, just see whatever opportunity, you know, presents itself. And obviously, I also want to create my own, you know, create my own TV film. And I'm actually in the process of writing my own play and my own one-man show that I'm trying to put on its legs and probably do it here in LA. And then when I get back to New York, do a couple shows out there as well.
Yeah. So you just kind of answered the next question I was going to ask, but, you know, how long have you thought about, you know, having like a behind the scenes role, like a screenwriter or a director? Or would you ever be interested in being a director or producer?
Yeah, I think after a couple months into when I decided I wanted to be an actor, I really get like obsessive. Like when I really want to do something, I get obsessed and I'm like researching and YouTube and listening to a whole bunch of interviews. And then the whole idea of like creating your own work, especially because sometimes, like, you know, with music, it's like we're in a time period in music where it's like you could literally do all of it yourself. Like you don't necessarily need to like get signed and have people. And with acting, it was kind of frustrating because it's almost like you got to wait till somebody like chooses you. So then with the, you know, with the emergence of people like Issa Rae, Donald Glover, who are like my inspos, like I think that's honestly the dream right there, just creating your own work and stuff like that. So I just remember, you know, learning how to write scripts. And so I made a short film in 2020 called My Brother's Keeper. And I just remember buying this small book on how to write a short film. And I literally just wrote it and then kind of worked with a director that I worked on another project, and we just stayed in contact. He was like, I really fuck with you, and I think I'd love to work together. So I hit him up and I was like, yo, I have this idea, let me know if you're interested. In and we just kind of hit it off and just shot it. It was really guerrilla style, like just me, like, again, it was me, him, the other actor who was my cousin. And I didn't realize at the time that I was directing. I thought directing was like something else. Like,
yeah,
but I was actually directing, I was actually producing, and I didn't even know what that really was. So
yeah,
and that's why I definitely want to keep doing that at a bigger scale for sure. And even more recent, like Quinta Brunson with mm-hmm. Abbott Elementary. You kidding me? That's a dream.
Yeah, everybody know her from Instagram. Yeah. Like, yeah. You got money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, definitely creating your own work as far as your own theater production or TV and film. That's definitely the dream right there.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not only with acting, I'm going to be learning how to produce and how to direct and how to write as well. I think trying to develop all areas of craft, because I just went to this, a multi-hyphenate thing with Kate Burton, and she was just saying, especially these days, being just an actor is kind of
archaic.
Yeah. Yeah. Kate, thank you. Yes. Definitely archaic. So it definitely helps to really know all facets of the industry and kind of position yourself in the best way possible to kind of put more of your destiny into your own hands, which I love.
Yeah. What, can you describe your acting style? Like how, you know, someone could describe what kind of singer they are?
Uh-huh. Let me see. I don't know. I think I'm such in the beginning stages of figuring out. I think right now in school, we talk about personalization a lot and just really learning about yourself. So I'm really in the process of really exploring myself. And it sounds kind of strange, especially at my age, but it's like, but yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, we kind of just, in everyday life, we're not really exploring like that. There's a lot of, not only just traumatic things, but also just, you know, what makes you happy or what makes you yearn for. It's just a lot of stuff that we actually don't really know about ourselves. And, you know, I'm in the process of really learning that. But I think if I was to describe my acting style right now, I would just say it's honest. And I think, and I say that because that's what I heard from other people. So I'm just like relaying the message, because it's tough to really say what my acting style is. Could you actually give it like an example? Like, what would you, what's an actor that you would say his acting style is so-and-so?
Well, I mean, I feel like Denzel is basically just like a middle-aged black man from New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, just you from New York, you know, like, yeah. Denzel, his mannerisms, his, you know, even the way he like, his facial expressions, yeah, you know, and that shows in every character. He'll make every character, like, he'll put his acting style in every character, mm-hmm. but it's still, like, the same components you see in every movie. Like you kind of see, like, the dad from He Got Game, mm-hmm. you'll kind of see that in Macbeth.
Nah,
that movie he just did, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I guess I'm still just learning. I mean, that's why I'm in school. So I'm just really trying to really learn that. First, learning myself, and then be able to kind of figure out, you know, because, you know, they always say, like, we are bigger than all the roles that we play. That's what my teachers will say. And so, if you really know yourself, then you can kind of be able to navigate. And, but I don't know. I guess I have to get back to you on what my acting style would be. So I guess someone like a Christian Bale who really like disappears into his roles. Well, I guess that would be a style then, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just asking because I don't know if that's like a question you can answer. So I ask mm-hmm. just to see, because you interview a artist, like a musical artist, and, you know, it's easy for them to tell like what kind of their musical style is. But I wanted to know if mm-hmm. an actor can do the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Probably, but yeah. I guess at this point, it's just still to be determined.
Yeah,
for me at least, just trying to learn as much as I can to really, you know, figure out, I guess, my own style and interests. But I guess, like, if I want to talk about like what type of roles I would like, I think my favorite roles to play would be like antiheroes. Mm. I think they're my most favorite type of characters to watch in anything, because I think they're the most human.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of boring to watch the hero that always does the right thing, because we already know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
But with anti-hero, the people that struggle with morality and sometimes the right thing is kind of cloudy, or Tony, I think that's more human.
Tony Soprano, right. Walter White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Franklin Saint, we were talking about him.
Stringer Bell.
Yep.
Definitely all anti-heroes. Yeah. What's your favorite genre of
favorite genre?
Yeah,
say,
genre, his favorite genre.
I would say off the top of the head, I think dramedies, just getting both, you know, serious elements, but also like lightheartedness. I think Atlanta is a good example of that. But I do love crime dramas. Like Peaky Blinders is actually one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, mine too.
Cillian Murphy's a beast. Yeah, I would probably say, you know, crime dramas, dramedies. I don't know if you're familiar with this show, Succession.
I love that show.
What you call it, because it's kind of satire, but
it has its comedic relief moments, but it is a drama.
Yeah, so like stuff like that.
Yeah,
those are definitely my favorite type of genre to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool, man. What validates you as an actor?
What validates me? I don't know. There's just moments. I just shot a scene with last night with somebody from the cinematic school, and sometimes there's these moments where you really get lost in a role, and it's like indescribable. Similar to what I was saying, like when you're in theater, you get that live reaction. Or even way back when I was taking a class at HB, and you're just like, you just have this moment where you just feel like you're not even in that classroom, and you're. I think those moments is like, again, it's indescribable. It's like when I got lost in that scene so much, where it's like, and that's when like you get that raw emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would say growing up, I didn't really, you know, I didn't really have much opportunity to really explore a lot of like the emotional sides, I guess, of me, whereas a lot of it just like kind of just pushing through, like, you know, kind of toughing it out.
Yeah.
And So when you peel all that back, when you're acting, it's sometimes you get surprised of what comes from that, and I think moments like that is just what's really exciting about this, and yeah. So I think that would probably be the thing that's most validating.
Yeah. Do you feel like you made it yet?
You know, in a way, yes. In a way, I think every day I get a chance to do this, I feel like I made it, because, you know, a lot of people kind of, I don't know if it's too scary, because, you know, there's also just situations where they can't chase the dream, but it's like every day I get a chance to kind of get another shot up at bat at this. It's just I'm, you know, very grateful, because there was a point where I wasn't doing it and I was just miserable, you know what I'm saying, miserable at work. But now I get a shot, like every day I can get up and go do what I love. So that in itself, and I know it sounds kind of cliche or cheesy, but it's like just a couple of years ago, I was just like sitting at my desk.
Yeah.
Computer just. So, and I know, you know, the more I learn, you know, the success will come and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, every day is really a blessing, for real. And yeah, I think, yeah, so I think like every day, you know, again, so I try not to think too product oriented, like, oh, once, because let's say if I do like tomorrow, some huge movie lands at my doorstep and they say, okay, we want you to be the lead for this film. Then I do the film, and most likely just my nature is going to be like, okay, what's the next film? So then it's like, at what point are you going to be like, oh, I made it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe when you're able to, I guess, buy your mom a house, that would be a great goal in itself. But at least for me right now, I think just being able to kind of do this thing.
Just the fact that you're doing it is like you feeling like you made it. Yeah, and I feel that for sure, because a lot of people can't, and a lot of people aren't doing that.
Yeah.
So
for whatever reason.
What do aspiring actors need to mentally prepare for?
Yeah, like we touched on before, the rejection.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the rejection. And I was trying to think, did I used to take it personal? I don't think I did, but I do know a lot of people who would take it personal, and they would kind of look up who did get the role. They'd be like, man, I could have done that better. And I don't think that's healthy, because now you're just coming from a place of like spite and stuff like that. I think you just need to just focus on what you're doing. But yeah, definitely, the rejection, be aware of that. And also, you know, the grind it takes in. Again, like we touched on in the beginning, as far as like just the work that you need to put in before you even step on set. Because all the work is done before you step on set, and also in rehearsals. So then when the cameras come on, then you just like, it's just play, and you're just really just in, you're present in the scene. And then, so yeah, so just like the work that you need to put beforehand. So did I answer that question?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, nah, definitely. Yeah, you answered it perfectly. What's the best advice you've ever received on your journey?
Best advice. I think one thing that comes to mind is kind of ties into what you're saying about feeling like you made it. One person told me that in this industry, there's going to be like a lot of people like to say, oh, there's like your big break, but it's really kind of like a series of breaks. And I guess for me right now, it's like my first break was Answer the Math. Then the next was my own short film. Then the next was Power. Then the next, USC. So there's like a series of breaks, and you kind of have to look at it as a progression like that, instead of like looking as one big break where it's like that's when life changed overnight. But there's like a phrase about something about overnight successes.
You know
what I'm talking about? Like, it's not coming to me right now.
Overnight successes is really like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and it definitely helps put things in perspective because, you know, it's tough. Like you go on social media, and you just see all these things happening. You're like, damn, I want to be, you know, on the court for that. I want to be in the game. But I think if you just focus on the process, and I think again, I think that's another perfect thing. The process. If you just focus on the process, that will help ease all the stress that you put and burden you put on yourself to kind of make it. You focus on the process, all this stuff is just gonna come. It just has to.
Yeah. Do you feel like you'll have this same mentality if it took you till you were 40 to start getting, you know, being like an A-list actor, like a Christian Bale, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Because I like really love it,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if I don't ever get there, I'm still going to love doing what I love to do. Because if I don't, then I might as well just do something else. Because again, the pay is not great in the beginning. So
yeah.
There's other ways to, I think there's easier ways to get rich if you want to get rich off of acting. But yeah, I really love what I'm doing. So even if it takes till 40 or whatever, I think, it wouldn't matter. I think it's a great creative outlet. And I just really love doing it. I really have passion for this. So, yeah, the time horizon is not really, like, much of a concern for me. And, like, even if I can just make my own short, like, web series or own films and stuff like that, I think that in itself is, like, really fulfilling. I try not to even look at acting to really support me financially. That's kind of like the mindset I have. Like I look to like, you know, certain business ventures or like real estate, I think so that can fund it. So I can just really just focus on making just dope shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of the greats don't even make it till they're in their 30s.
Yeah.
So like, you know, somebody, like, we talked about Denzel, like, you know, Denzel's in his 60s. He didn't really start getting big roles until the late 80s, early 90s. So he was in his 30s by then. So
yeah, he was in the theater heavy. Like he was actually they were all in the theater at the same time. It was Denzel, Sam Jack, Wesley Snipes. They were all like in New York together at the same time, just doing theaters. And then I forgot who said it, but like they would just get plucked, like one plucked to go to Hollywood, like one by one. So like, so if you surround yourself with people that's really here to do the work and stuff like that, it's gonna come. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it goes back to even like networking with your peers and just getting together and just making things.
Yeah. So what advice could you give all the aspiring actors, especially the ones coming from where we come from, Rockland County?
Yeah, man. I would have to, one thing I would love to see if there are even theater programs in Rockland, cause I'm not even sure. Cause I was already living in Brooklyn at the time that I started taking all these acting classes. So if there are no acting classes in Rockland, I think especially now you could take a lot of virtual classes. So there's not really any excuse not to be in acting classes. And there has to be theater productions going on in Rockland. Cause I watched my little sister, she did plays at a high school. Once again, the North Rockland Best High School in Rockland County. But she did plays there. So I'm sure there has to be some theater. And if there's not, then find where that stuff is happening. And I think really just Google. So I think really taking classes and audition for roles. And Rockland's close enough where you can just get to the city when you need to do any, films or, you know, web series or anything mm-hmm. like that. And then like the final step, which is going to take a little bit more hustle, is making your own stuff, just like I did. Like get a couple of guys, get a camera, and just film something, put it up on Instagram, YouTube, and that's how you get practice, that's how you build the reps.
Yeah,
a lot of it is repetition. The first one probably gonna suck,
yeah,
but as you keep doing it, you're gonna get better. You're gonna put the time in your craft and again the process, and then eventually, if you love it enough, if you have enough passion for it, you'll see the results come. So the people that's in Rockland that's really trying to do it, just be willing to put in the work, because it's not gonna come overnight. And and also don't look to other people like, oh, okay, Quaz got it in this time, so it's gonna be, I'm gonna need like this, because everybody's story is different.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly think my kind of trajectory was kind of unconventional, I think. Because, so I kind of have even a skewed kind of perception at times until I started speaking to other people and kind of their journey. So everybody's journey is going to be different for sure. So, yeah, so I would just kind of get in classes and just start just making shit or being part of other people's projects. Try to get any way you can try to get yourself involved, just do it. And if you really want it, there's ways to get involved. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you said someone told you, like an older person told you that they said about acting that it's kind of archaic to just be an actor. But do other people in the industry that are older that kind of look at things from a more traditional perspective, do they kind of talk down on people who came up through the internet and came up through like these, you know, web series?
So it depends. So the internet is very vast. I think in that sense, no, because I think some of our the stars that we look, especially the multi-hyphenates that we look at, like a Quinta Brunson came up off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So now she has syndicated show on ABC, Abbott Elementary, fire show. Donald Glover started on the internet. Issa Rae started on the internet. So I think maybe in the beginning, maybe in the super beginning, but I think now that's almost kind of like we're moving more towards needing to be a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
I think. So yeah, I don't think there's that negative perception anymore of coming up on the internet.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the internet is just a tool, so you can use it in a bad way or, you know, use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
And so when we look at people like that, when you look at Insecure, Atlanta, and Abbott Elementary, all these things. Well, maybe not Abbott wasn't born on the internet, but still, like she started creating originally on the internet. So like, nah, I don't think there's that perception as much anymore.
And I mean, we consume most of these shows through streaming.
Yeah.
So, you know, the internet's going to be a part of it regardless. Yeah. So, yeah, I would understand. I actually wouldn't understand if people weren't as respecting of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, these days. Yeah, I think there's like the old guard. I know a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I know there's people that's resistant, but that's been coming around to like, you really using the internet because, you know, sometimes, especially like the real theater people, they wanted to, they just feel like the internet, they don't want to promote themselves on the internet as much because they just want to keep it pure. But I mean, and again, of course, you always want to keep it as pure as you can, but I wouldn't view the internet as so like poisonous.
Yeah.
Because there are some good ways to use it. It's just a tool.
Yeah. I saw that it was around the time that Will Smith made an Instagram, mm-hmm. and he said that he was being interviewed about, because his Instagram, he basically went like viral because of just all the things that he does on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that artists were kind of, well, actors were kind of against being on social media because they don't want to give too much of themselves because it kind of will distract people from the characters that they portray. And like Scarlett Johansson, right? One of the greats, mm-hmm. she's not on Instagram, or, you know, Denzel's not on Instagram. A lot of greats aren't on Instagram. So you are on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's true?
So I kind of was in that same vein before, but this was even before I wanted to act, because the idea of kind of putting my life on Instagram was kind of like, whoa, I didn't really really like that too much. But I saw that the value that could bring from really connect, because I think right now it's really about just connecting to the people. And when people start to have a certain connection with you, they wanna support you. as much as they can. So I think there's like a balance. I think there's a balance. I don't think you need to put your every second of your life on there, but we're not just actors. We're human beings. There's, people want to know things that we believe in. They want to know just things that they can resonate with. So I think there's like a balance of kind of connecting, but also leaving enough, I guess, distance where it's like they don't feel like they know every single thing about you. But because there is a such thing as of oversaturating. Mm-hmm. So you want to be careful not to do that. And that, I think that goes for not only actors, but just anything in general,
really. Yeah.
Entertainers or whatever. Like, you don't want to oversaturate yourself, but leave some to be desired, I think.
Yeah. So what's next for Quaz DeGraff?
Yeah, for next, man, I got a whole bunch of projects in my head that I'm just trying to organize. My problem is I want to do like 50 things at once. But I think for me, just continuing to learning the writing process. Like I'm co-writing a pilot with a classmate of mine. I have a one-man show in mind that I want to do out here in LA and also take to New York and perform that for family and friends. And just continuing to not only learn how to create my own work, but also, you know, I'm in school. So just learning every day from, you know, the best teachers in the West Coast, in my opinion. And yeah, and just continuing to network with the peers around me in the cinema school and also the dramatic art school. So yeah, just a lot of just grinding. And, you know, to be honest, I'm probably, I won't go ghost. Because, you know, sometimes when the work piles on, I could just get so focused on that. I don't even.
Yeah.
And that's like really a balance that I need to work on, especially like with keeping that connection with friends and family. It gets real tough when you get so locked into, you know, what you're trying to do every day. But yeah, essentially for next for me is just kind of just continue what I've been doing, creating my own work. Hopefully I can put out another short film. I would love to film that in Rockland, but I'll see. I guess when the time comes, we'll figure out that side. And because I want it to be bigger than the short film that I did before, because I think before that one was just kind of like a practice to see, all right, how does one make a short film and how does that work? What are like the nuts and bolts of that? And then I'll just make a bigger one and just keep growing until, you know, I really got a handle on things. But so just, you know, learn how to create my own stuff and just kind of continue to grow in my craft is basically the next journey for me.
Yeah. So Quaz, you are an actor, of course, and you have a profession where words are very important, you know, reading scripts and the way you convey messages, your tone, all of those things. And the name of this podcast is Words Matter Pod, podcast dedicated to storytellers. So why do words matter to you?
Why do words matter to me? I think words matter because they're a way to really connect with the human soul. There's just something about when you can, like when you see a good piece of writing, a good piece of script, and how that can emotionally charge someone, similar to music. But yeah, words are just a way to not only communicate. Yeah, it really just, I would say words matter because they're just a way for us to communicate and really express the you know, human condition. And I think as an actor, we're kind of like, our job is to put like a mirror.
Yeah.
A mirror at society to kind of, you know, reflect that, you know, what's been going on. And that's kind of how we tell our stories, and we do that through our words.
Yeah.
And I think that's why words matter.
It's been a great interview. Thank you, Quaz.
You, man.
For allowing me in your home in LA, and it's just, you know, kind of wild that both of us are here.
Yeah.
And moved here around the same time. And man, thank you for thanks again, you know.
I appreciate it.
So for everyone watching, please like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube. And for anyone listening, please rate and comment.
Do that,
so
do
you
that.
Know we could get up on these charts,
yes, sir.
On Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everywhere where this podcast is, and all the streaming platforms. But yeah, once again, Quaz, thank you. And best of luck on your journey.
Thank you.
As an actor, thank you. On your journey as an actor in Los Angeles, the home of acting.
Yes, sir. And apparently really good Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Put me on, so I got to check that out.
Yeah, no, especially this neighborhood. damn, I just gave up where your neighborhood is. Damn.
Sounds good.
But yeah, man, thank you. Words matter.
Yes, sir.